This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Today is the New York primary. There are 291 Democratic delegates up for grabs. Bernie Sanders is coming off a streak of wins, but he may have lost the Democratic nomination for president weeks ago. That's because the superdelegates have given most of their votes to former First Lady Hillary Clinton. How can you win a primary but lose the delegate count? To understand that, you have to understand how superdelegates work. It's time to break it down. Superdelegates were invented in 1984. That is, they invented a thing that most people call superdelegates.
Faster than a speeding ballot, it's superdelegate to the rescue.
The political parties call them unpledged delegates.
Toga! Toga!
The Democrats have far more of them, and the supers in the Democratic Party can actually decide an election. The GOP supers probably can't.
You can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges.
Let's deal with the Republicans right away because their system is simple. The GOP awards three unpledged delegates to every state in the nation, but party rules say those delegates have to vote according to the primary election results. If one person gets two-thirds of the vote, then two unpledged delegates vote for that guy. It's simple.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Not so for the Democrats, and I'll tell you why. Back in the 1980s, leaders in the Democratic Party became worried that party leaders and officials didn't have enough power in the nominating process. Why? Well, back in 1972, the Democrats nominated George McGovern of South Dakota.
I accept your nomination with a full and grateful heart.
But McGovern lost in every state except Massachusetts in November. Nixon won by a landslide.
I've never known a national election when I would be able to go to bed earlier than tonight.
4 years later, Jimmy Carter won the nomination despite strong opposition from the party's leaders. Some even launched an ABC campaign. No, not that one. ABC as in the Anybody But Carter movement. But it didn't matter. The Watergate scandal made voters wary of establishment politicians. Carter was seen as an outsider who might shake up D.C. politics, and he won both the nomination and the presidency.
And I guarantee you that it will be the year when we give the government of this country back to the people of this country.
The Democratic Party didn't want that to happen again. So in 1982, the party set aside 14% of the delegates as so-called superdelegates. Like I said, these people are automatically invited to the party's convention, and they get to vote for whomever they want in the primaries. Since the 1980s, the number of superdelegates has steadily grown. They now control about 30% of the votes, and that's more than enough to decide who becomes the nominee.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
How do you become a superdelegate? Well, you have to be a Democrat first. Then you have to be a member of the U.S. Congress, the governor of a state, or a high-ranking member of the party. You can also be a former president, vice president, or leader of the House or Senate.
It'll be easy peasy lemon squeezy.
No, it won't. It will be difficult, difficult, lemon difficult.
There are 4,483 delegates to the Democrats' convention. 714 are supers.
Superdelegate to the rescue!
Does the system work? Well, there's no easy answer to that. I can say definitively that it didn't work in 1984. That's when superdelegates helped push Walter Mondale into the nomination over Senator Gary Hart. Mondale lost 49 states that fall.
Unpledged delegates exist really to make sure that party leaders and elected officials don't have to be in a position where they are running against grassroots activists.
That's Democratic National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz in an interview on CNN. Critics took her response as an admission that the superdelegate system is rigged, but is it? We brought in an expert to explain. I spoke with Georgia State University political science professor Sean Ritchie back in March, and I asked him about the flaws in the system.
The fundamental problem is the primary voters differ from general election voters. They differ in two ways. A, they're just from the party, so it doesn't include independents in at least in closed primary states. But they also differ because of there's very low turnout in primaries. And so these tend to be people who are very engaged with politics and when people who are very interested in politics. And that correlates highly with ideological extremity. So you end up with the people who actually go and bother to vote in primary elections are on average, more ideologically extreme than will be voting in the general.
They're one extreme or the other. So are you? Is that a way of saying that if the Republicans had more superdelegates, that they wouldn't be in danger of having Donald Trump as their nominee?
The issue is that superdelegates are often a sort of a moot question. So if we go back, say, even a contested primary that was probably more contested than people remember was 2012 with Mitt Romney. You remember Santorum and Gingrich ran pretty strong campaigns. But superdelegates are not superdelegates. Even if you had had the same percentage of superdelegates at the Democratic side, and even if all of them had went to Santorum, Romney had wrapped it up by mid-March, early April.
But here's the thing, Sean. Is the system then, at least for the Democrats, rigged? Was it a done deal? When people talked about Hillary Clinton being inevitable, is part of that because the party had already decided that the superdelegates would go to Clinton?
Well, the superdelegates do not make up that large of a percentage to decide it in that level, right?
So, but they get 30% of the delegate count.
True, and she had wrapped up a lot. But let's say Hillary Clinton was to drop out. Well, then, of course, they're not going to go to the convention in Philadelphia and say, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. She had already dropped out. And that's very much the case of what happened in 2008, because remember, lots of superdelegates in 2008 had supported her over Barack Obama. But by the time the convention came, they were not pushing the issue because Clinton was no longer running.
So let's say that you are in the Democratic Party and you want to bring up this issue to get rid of superdelegates, or at least reduce them. How does that process happen?
Well, there's party rules. Interestingly, these are selected by the party themselves. Remember, parties are not in the Constitution. They're not unconstitutional.
Right.
They're extra-constitutional. They can exist. They're an association, and they're protected by the First Amendment because we have a right to association. But they are not these processes by which parties select rules. That's why the Republican and Democratic Party differ are not legally bound. The parties have to agree on it, and they can differ in the way they can agree
so
on it.
So something the Democrats decide to do as a party cannot be either constitutional or unconstitutional because they're not in the Constitution.
Well, I mean, they can do unconstitutional acts like the variety of unconstitutional acts
they
could do.
Shut down First Amendment speech.
Right, that kind of stuff, right. But basically, any rules of how the party go about deciding a nominee is their business.
So what does that mean? That means that somebody who's a member of the Democratic Party has no say?
Well, I think what it means is that if there – and remember, this has not happened yet. But if there was to ever be a so-called brokered convention where, say, the delegates are very close and maybe it looks like Sanders is going to win, but the superdelegates give it to Clinton – we've never had a situation like that. But if there was, there would be so much controversy over it, and there would be so much turmoil, and it would be such a negative way to start a general election campaign that I'm sure you would see massive reform thereafter.
Okay. Do you think that the issue, the identity crisis occurring over Trump, would make Republicans think more about adding superdelegates?
Well, that's exactly what this system is designed for. And so going forward is something they, if they eventually elect Trump and he doesn't do well, it's something they'll certainly think about increasing.
That's Georgia State University political science professor Sean Ritchie.